Well, wonderful to see each and every one of you here. If you are new here, you ought to have found one of these sheets inside the service sheets that you were handed on the way in, and that has some points that we will be looking at as we continue our series called God at Work. And this morning we come to what's almost the last in the series, looking at the whole subject of work and worry. Should we be stressed? Work and worry, should we be stressed? And we're going to anchor our thoughts this morning in the passage of Scripture which was read for us. So that's Matthew 6 and verses 25 to 34. And you should be able to find that on page 685. And it would be good if you could have that open in front of you. I'm sure what some of you will have noticed as that was read for us is that on three occasions in this passage of Scripture, Jesus explicitly says that we are not to worry. So verse 25, he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear." Later on, verse 31, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" Verse 34, at the end of the section, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow." So Jesus, on three occasions, tells us explicitly that we are not to worry. And he actually mentions the word worry a further three times in those verses. And I think the reason why Jesus says we are not to worry is because he knows us so well. He knows that worry is probably a large part of all our lives. And there are all sorts of things that we have a tendency to get worried about. Worry and stress, maybe particularly at work, is something that we are all familiar with in some shape or form. It's interesting, in a recent survey of 3,000 workers, apparently half of them said that they went to work feeling unwell or stressed. Half of them feeling unwell or stressed. About the same number said that they felt anxious about their work regularly, and that staff shortages and a heavy workload were the main causes of stress in their lives. So obviously this whole theme of worry and work is a large one. And it may well be that in a gathering as large as we are this morning, that there are some of you who are also worried about some aspects of your work at the moment. Now, for some of us, I'm sure it's probably that relatively sort of low-level stress of kind of meetings and long hours and maybe difficult employees or employers or particular projects and assignments that we are working on at the moment. However, I'm sure for some of us here, this whole subject of worry and work is a much more serious one. It will maybe be those feelings of chronic exhaustion which we experience, or the feeling of not being able to cope, which actually leaves us feeling physically unwell. Maybe we feel like we're completely overwhelmed. Maybe we feel like the wheels of our life are, in some sense, about to fall off. And so it's really good to know here that the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the eternal Son of God, explicitly speaks to this whole subject of worry. And we'll see that he has some very helpful advice for us. And so surely it ought to be, right at the start, immensely reassuring for us to know that Jesus has a lot to say about worry, and that he can actually give us some very practical and helpful tools to deal with it in our lives. I'd like to start off, though, by saying that there is a valid distinction, I think, between what we might call right concerns and wrong worries. Okay, so right concerns versus wrong worries. So actually, it's a really healthy thing to have right concerns in your life. So it's very good, for example, to be concerned about holiness. It's very good to be concerned about your marriage. It's very good to be concerned about your child's spiritual growth. It's very good to be concerned about wanting to honour and glorify God in your work. All of those are really good, positive, healthy, right concerns which we need to actually have. And if we are not concerned about those things, then something is amiss in our lives. We're actually being irresponsible and sinful. So Jesus is obviously not saying here that we just need to relax and we need to totally chill out in every area of our lives. There's also what we might call wrong worries. And these, I think, are things that we are worried about that we really ought not to be. They maybe stem from a lack of faith. They maybe stem from a lack of trust in God. and might include some of the things which he mentions here, being overly consumed with material goods, for instance, being overly consumed and concerned with our future, being overly consumed with others' opinion and what they think of us. And so worry is really when something begins to consume us in an unhealthy way, when it leads to a lack of sleep, maybe, when we become completely overwhelmed and preoccupied with it, the worries of life. And I think a further reason why this subject of worry is so important is because worry often leads to other things which aren't good. So, for instance, if we are very worried about our finances, then we are more likely to be greedy or steal. If we are very worried and completely consumed with what people think of us, well, we are more likely to lie so that they will be impressed. If we are very worried about being a success, and that really means everything in our lives, then we are more likely to get irritable or angry or envious or resentful of those around us. And so this whole theme of worry, I actually think, is a very big issue and a very helpful one that we need to speak about this morning. So what is it that you're anxious about at the moment? What are you worried about at the moment? Well, know that Jesus Christ has spoken to that very issue of worry that you are struggling with right now. And actually, one of the main scripture passages which looks at it is the passage we're looking at from the Sermon on the Mount this morning. So then, with some of those introductory thoughts in mind, let's look at this section of scripture together. And the first point I want to make by way of context is that Jesus is speaking here to his disciples. So Jesus is speaking here to those who are in relationship with him. So verse 25, you will have noticed, starts with that very important little word, therefore. And that looks back to the whole of what Jesus has been saying in verse 19 to 24. So if you look back at verse 19, Jesus says there, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he ends up saying in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Okay, so it links back to what Jesus has just been talking about a few verses earlier. And Jesus is very clearly saying that there are two ways to live. There are two masters, God and money. There are two goals, storing up treasure on earth or storing up treasure in heaven. There are two lifestyles which go with them and two end results, one wise and one foolish. And every one of us needs to choose who we are going to live for in our lives, God or money. Are we going to live for ourselves and this present world, or will we live for God and his kingdom and store up treasures in heaven? And what Jesus is saying, therefore, is that if we are living for him and we're storing up treasures in heaven, then we shouldn't be worried or anxious about material things. That's what Jesus is saying here. Rather, we should trust in God and come to know the peace and security that being in relationship with him brings. So when Jesus is talking about worry here, he's not talking to everyone in the whole world. He's not talking to humanity indiscriminately. Rather, he is talking to those who are in relationship with him, those who are his followers, those who are seeking to live with God as their ruler and their Lord and their master. And so the first very important question for each of us this morning is, are we actually in relationship with him? Are we in relationship with Christ? Are we one of his followers? Or actually, are we probably still part of that large group of people who was around him, who was listening to him speak, and who are interested in him, but are still making up their minds about who he actually was? Which is good, but we need to come at some point to accept Christ as the Lord and Saviour of our lives. And so if you're here this morning and you aren't a Christian, then the invitation of Christ to you would be that you can come to know him, that you can come into relationship with him, and that you can then apply what he has to say about the antidote to worry and anxiety to your life. And certainly as a minister and as a pastor of the gospel, I would urge you with all my heart that if you haven't yet received Christ, then that's something that you need to actually do and you need to think very carefully about at the moment. So then, with that in mind, let's move on to look at what Jesus has to say about worry to his followers. So why shouldn't those who are in relationship with Christ worry? Well, we see here that Jesus gives his disciples two reasons not to worry, and then gives them an exhortation or a command. And the first reason, therefore, why we shouldn't worry is because your Heavenly Father cares. Your Heavenly Father cares. We can see the general principle there in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? And then Jesus goes on to give two examples from the world of nature. So first of all, he says, look at the birds in verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And then he goes on to say, consider the flowers. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So the argument here for us is really very easy to actually follow. He's saying if God cares for the birds and the flowers, which are not very important and not very valuable, then how much more will God care for us who are supremely valuable to him? So if, like me, you've spent a lot of time in your life watching birds, then in all the birds I've ever watched, I've never seen any planting or sowing or engaging in agriculture. They do not harvest, they do not plant the fields, but yet the Heavenly Father provides for them. And if you ask, of course, who's more valuable, me or a bird, the answer is me, right? The answer is us. So how much more, therefore, will God care for us than the birds? And it's the same with the flowers as well. If you think about a really beautiful orchid, perhaps, of which we see many here in Hong Kong, and think about the wonderful intricacy of that, then that orchid is not making itself look good by making its own clothes or going to the mall. Rather, it is the Lord who clothes the flowers and makes them look beautiful. In fact, I was thinking, if you've got someone to come in here who is wearing all the latest labels from all the most expensive shops in Hong Kong and put them side by side with one of the beautiful flowers that God has actually made, the flower would look more beautiful. You see, if God clothes the flowers, then how much more will God clothe us? God clothes the flowers, even although they only last for a few weeks or a few days. And so how much more will God clothe us, who are actually eternal in nature? And so both of these examples remind us of this one simple truth, that God cares. He cares for his people like a loving Heavenly Father. We shouldn't be anxious. Why? First of all, because God cares for us. There is, of course, though, the flip side of this, which is a lot more challenging for us, which is that when we are anxious, that actually shows a lack of a trust or faith in our Heavenly Father. So when we are anxious, that often shows a lack of trust or faith in God as our Heavenly Father. And that is, I think, exactly why the Lord Jesus here says, O you of little faith. He says, O you of little faith. You see, the root of worry is actually a lack of faith. The root of worry is a lack of faith. The people here were anxious and worried and stressed because they refused to actually trust in God. I was thinking of a very personal example of this. When I was thinking about making the move into full-time Christian ministry, there were two things that held me back from that for a very long while, and they were actually both to do with this whole issue of lack of faith and lack of trust. For one thing, I was worried that I didn't have the right gifts and skills for ministry for a long while, and then I was also worried that if I actually went into ministry, I would have no way of making ends meet, and I just simply wouldn't have enough money to live on. So those two things were a real problem for me, and what I actually realized was that both of them came down to this whole question of, do I really trust God? Do I really have faith in him? to give me the necessary skills and gifts and fruitfulness which we need for ministry? And also, do I actually trust God to provide and to take care of material needs? And God was very, very kind, really, in the way that he helped me come to that realization. But my fundamental problem was basically exactly what we see here in Matthew 6. I lacked the faith and I lacked the trust that God really did care for me as his heavenly Father and that he would provide for me. I'm sure you know that our worries actually change and grow as we get older. If I think about my little girl, who's now one, she's not really worried about anything. But then as a child gradually gets older, it becomes aware of various different things in the world which are maybe scary or uncertain, and it gradually begins that, you know, worries and fear actually start. For me, when I was very young, it was rats. When I was very young, I'd been reading a book about the plague. I mean, who gives a book on the plague to a kid to read anyway? But I was reading a book about the plague, and this book on the plague had this picture of a scary rat in it. And I was terrified of rats for months and months afterwards. And so as we get older, of course, our worries actually grow and increase. And of course, when we come to the world of work, maybe that's especially true for us there. We worry about the effect of the long hours that we have to work. We worry about all the things that we can't actually physically finish in the allotted time that we need to. We worry about feelings of failure and what others may think. We worry about not making the grade and maybe not even living up to our own standards, never mind anybody else's. We worry about young people maybe being promoted ahead of us. We worry about being overtaken in the marketplace by new technology. We worry about losing our jobs. We worry about our source of income. We worry about our investments for the future. We worry about our relatives who are ill. And that's just in the morning. In the afternoon, things get much worse, right? You know? Soon there are lots and lots of worries in our lives. We are by nature fallen, anxious, frail human beings who are often weak and worried, which is, I think, why Jesus says three times here that we need to remember that we have a loving Father who cares. It's easy to find lots of tips in the world for handling stress, whether it's taking a walk at lunchtime, whether it's popping some pills, whether it's taking up yoga at the weekends. But actually, Jesus says that none of those things will ever get to the root of the problem, because Jesus says that the root of the problem is a lack of faith and a lack of trust in God. Oh, you of little faith, Jesus rebukes us. The problem is a spiritual one, Jesus is saying, and it needs a spiritual cure. And the spiritual cure that Jesus so clearly prescribes is to entrust ourselves to the care of our loving Heavenly Father and to put our faith in him. As 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Short verse, really couldn't be clearer. Psalm 55 verse 22, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Okay, so what's the first reason why we shouldn't be anxious? It's because we have a Father in heaven who cares for us intimately. And then the second reason why we shouldn't worry is because our Heavenly Father knows. You can see this in verse 31 and 32. It says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Your Heavenly Father knows. So it's basically saying that we shouldn't be like the pagans. We shouldn't be like the people around us who do not believe in God and are completely absorbed with the concerns of this present world. So if you just think about Hong Kong for a moment, and we take these three things of food, drink and clothes, right? Do those things characterize the Hong Kong that you know? Well, people run, of course, after clothes and the image which they project. We are one of the food and drink capitals of the whole world. You look at any newspaper or magazines, and it's full of celebrity chefs. It's full of restaurants which are opening up, and where we can go to eat and drink and have a good time. This is saying that if we are Christians, we shouldn't be sprinting after those things like the world around us. Rather, of course, if we're Christians, we will know that food and drink and clothes are really good gifts from God, which are to be enjoyed. But we aren't to run after those things. And the reason we are not to run after them is because God knows what we need. For the pagans, run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So God knows what we need. What does God know? Well, God knows everything. God knows everything that there is. He knows all that there is in one eternal act. God can't forget anything. It's an amazing thing to actually think about and to contemplate. But all the knowledge in the universe, so not just the knowledge that human beings already know, but all the knowledge there is to know in the universe is completely present in God's consciousness at any given moment. Wow. Okay? Think about that. God is all-knowing. And surely if God has that immense amount of knowledge about the universe in which we live, then surely God knows what we need. Surely our loving Heavenly Father knows what we need. The picture really is of a loving parent who knows exactly what their children need at any moment. God knows the future too, of course. He knows the end from the beginning and cares for us providentially by his love and his power. Psalm 139, verse 16 reminds us, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God knows. God knows when we are going to die, and God is in control of absolutely everything that will happen between now and then. Therefore, if you think about it, worry is actually pointless. It's needless. God is in control, and he's working everything out. So why worry? As it says here, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? So then, maybe think about a worry that you've had recently. Can you try and bring to mind one worry that you've had recently? You may have lots to be choosing from, but think about one worry that you have. And now think about what would happen if that worry was to become true. So think about what would happen if that worry was to become true and your sort of worst fears, if you like, were realized. And now realize that the truth is that even if that worry comes true, that that is something that God is completely and totally in control of and that he knows about and that he loves you. And the only reason that he would allow that thing to happen is because he is going to use it for your good and his glory. There's no circumstance at all in your life which can take God by surprise. He's all-knowing, and therefore, surely we can trust in him for the future. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need. As I was preparing this, there were some words from a Christian song which came to mind, and it contains these words here in one verse. I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow with its problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles, give to him my all. And that's the great assurance that we have if we are Christians. This is not trying to be a trite. It's not saying that we should minimize or underplay our worries or make light of them or anything like that, or that we should just lie back and relax. But it is saying that God knows and that God is in control, and therefore we can trust in him. And so we may well fear the next round of redundancies at work. We may be anxious about our exams. We may be anxious because our future career feels as if it's out of our hands. Well, the truth, of course, is that it is out of our hands. But the great assurance is that none of these things are ever out of God's hands. He knows exactly what we need, and he will look after us. If you think about it, actually, a lot of worry in our life comes because we like to be in control. We fear certain things are happening, and therefore we scurry around as fast as we can, being stressed and actually trying to control everything. And so we worry, or we overwork and worry, or so we worry and we put immense pressure on those around us to try and make sure that everything in our lives is under control. However, this reminds us that ultimately we are not in control, but that is actually okay. Because the Lord is. He knows what we need. He's our loving Heavenly Father. So then, why shouldn't we worry? Well, first of all, we shouldn't worry because our Heavenly Father cares. And then secondly, because our Heavenly Father knows. and he's the one who is in control. And then Jesus has a final exhortation or command for us in verse 33, which is to seek first God's kingdom. So we aren't to be anxious, but instead we are to seek first God's kingdom in the assurance that he will provide for us. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So what does this mean? Well, seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness aren't two separate things, but they're actually only one thing. And that one thing is to put God first and live with him as the master of our lives, to seek first his kingdom. If we're going to seek first God's kingdom, that means that we will want to see God's kingdom grow. It means that we will want to see more people become a part of God's kingdom. It means that we will have an eternal focus in our lives. Our eyes won't just be fixed on this present world now, but also we will be seeking to store up treasure in heaven as well. It means that we will seek to be like Christ in our lives. Seeking first God's kingdom means that we will live according to the standard of God's kingdom, which are laid out here in the Sermon on the Mount and elsewhere. And so it's really just about priorities. It's not saying that we will ignore the necessities of life or that they aren't important, but it is saying that God will always take the number one spot. God will always take the number one spot, that material needs always take second place to God's kingdom. If we are a Christian, then we are not to be the same as the people next door or the work cubicle next to us, but our lives are to be marked by the way that we handle our worries, because we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. We put him first. Now, of course, sometimes Christians are going to be persecuted or suffer and may go hungry or cold. But yet this wonderful promise here holds true, that if we seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, then all these things will be given to you as well. The food, the clothes, and the a drink, and the other things which he's been talking about. If you like, our responsibility, the responsibility that we have in fighting anxiety, is to seek God and to put him first. And if we are faithful in doing that, then he promises to provide for us. You remember how I was sharing earlier on about struggling to put my faith and trust in God to provide for me when I was going into ministry. And actually, though, for a couple of years there, where I lived on about HK$4,500 per month, I think. And I remember when I came to the end of that particular time, I was looking back and I could reflect on a period of about a year where I think I hadn't eaten a single Sunday lunch on my own, because quite literally, with no prompting from me, someone from the church had actually invited me around on every single Sunday of the whole year. And that's just really one personal illustration of how God provides. And there'll be many of you here who could probably tell similar stories of how God has provided in your lives as well, how he's cared for you, how he's been faithful to you, how he knows you, and how you've sought to put him first. And when we're facing the challenges of the future, it's immensely helpful, isn't it, to look back to the past and to see how God has provided for us there and how he has promised to be faithful to us again as we put our trust in him for what we're facing at the moment. And so I really hope that all this is an encouragement to you to fight worry and anxiety in your life by putting God first. We can seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness in the full assurance that God knows and God cares and God will provide what we need. And then we see that he gives a final command not to worry in verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So what Jesus is really saying there is we should take one day at a time. Tomorrow may well have all sorts of worries in it, but there's no point in worrying about that now. There's no point in getting stressed about what might happen in 1 year or 5 years or 15 years. We should just focus on putting our trust and faith in God in the present right now. It's not often that Kung Fu Panda gets a mention in one of my sermons, but this is what Kung Fu Panda has to say. The past is history. The future is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Now, Kung Fu Panda in his movies gets many things wrong, but one thing that Kung Fu Panda gets right is this, that when it comes to dealing with worry and anxiety in our lives, we need to focus on one day at a time. Each day has enough trouble of its own. There's no point in worrying about tomorrow's trouble now. Obviously, it's good to make plans for the future. That's good and wise. But surely there is always a point at which we have to acknowledge that there are things in the future which are unknown, and it is our Heavenly Father in heaven who is in charge of that, and we need to let go, and we need to put our trust in God. God's kingdom is to be our priority. It's so clearly saying that here. And if we get that straight now, then we will be equipped to handle whatever things tomorrow will throw at us. God's kingdom is to be our priority. And if we get that straight now, then we will be equipped to meet the troubles of tomorrow with God's help when tomorrow comes. So then, just as we close, how are we to handle worry at work or when anxious thoughts begin to rise in our minds and we begin to feel stressed? Well, I think we've seen that Jesus gives us a really solid framework for handling things here. The foundation is to remember practically that your Heavenly Father cares. Remember practically that your Heavenly Father knows. And so we mustn't allow ourselves, therefore, to be consumed by material needs. And then we are to seek first God's kingdom and put our confident trust in him, knowing that he is our Heavenly Father who provides for us. And all this requires some effort from us. It does require a little bit of work, practically, to put this into practice. It's not going to happen while we're sort of cruising along in neutral. We're never going to conquer worry in our lives by just lying back and not doing anything. We actually do have to call on God. We have to actively put our faith in him. We actually actively have to pray to him for his help and remember his many promises which come to mind. And God's word is filled with all the wonderful promises that we could ever need. When we get anxious about the daily necessities of life, we need to remember what God has said in a verse like Philippians 4, verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ. When we are worried about what people think of us at work, we need to remember Psalm chapter 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? No one. When we are stressed about our future, we maybe need to remember Psalm 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. When we are worried and anxious and we maybe aren't even sure why, we need to remember Psalm 68, verse 19. Praise be to the Lord, to God, our Saviour, who daily bears our burdens. And so we need to do some work. We need to be active. We can actually fight fear and anxiety in our lives by meditating on the rich promises of God. And as we do that, we will find that our minds will become renewed, God's Holy Spirit will go to work on us, and our anxious thoughts will begin to subside. In a moment, we'll come to communion. And Romans 8, verse 31 and 32 reminds us of this, that if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So can you see there the logic that Paul's using? He's saying that God loves us. He's saying that God has given us, in actual fact, the greatest gift of all. God has sent his only son, Jesus, to come to earth to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could be counted pure and blameless before a holy God and we could come to have a relationship with him. And therefore, if God has lavished his love and care on us so much by sending Christ to the cross for us, then will not God also give us everything that we need? Will not God also give us everything that we need? And so do not worry, but seek first God and his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we want to give you thanks for your word. We give thanks for this reminder from the lips of your Son that you are a heavenly Father who cares and knows. Father, we do ask that you would particularly help us as we often struggle with anxious thoughts. We do pray, Father, for those here who are facing all kinds of issues at the moment, and we ask, Father, that you would help them. We pray that we wouldn't be worried or stressed in the same way as those around us, but that we would live as your people, that we might be those who seek first your kingdom and know the peace and the security that comes from knowing you. And we ask these things now in Christ's name. Amen.